Deuteronomy chapter 6. You can either use the bulletin or you can turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I will also at this time dismiss the children to children's church. If you have children age 4 through the 4th grade, we have workers who are prepared to take them and teach them during this time. They can be dismissed now. They're certainly welcome to stay in here with us as well. Often with the beginning of a new year, there's also a consideration of new goals, or maybe a recommitment to goals that we've made before and maybe have kind of gone by the wayside. Well, I want you to know this morning that your leaders, your spiritual leaders at Reynoldsburg Baptist Church, have goals for you. We have goals for you as the members, the congregation of Reynoldsburg Baptist Church. Let me just share three with you. The first is that you will grow spiritually this year, that you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have that goal for you, as well as for ourselves. Secondly, that you will be involved in ministry. Anytime someone presents themselves for membership, one of the questions I ask is, are you committing yourself not merely to be a member, but also to serve the Lord in and through Reynoldsburg Baptist Church? So it is our goal, our desire and goal, that you will be involved in ministry here at Reynoldsburg Baptist Church. We have a third goal, and that is that you will be involved in some way in fulfilling the Great Commission call to make disciples. We're all called to make disciples of all nations. And our goal is that every member of Reynoldsburg Baptist Church will be in some way involved in this Great Commission call and task. Well, this morning I want to begin to address the first of those goals, and that is your personal spiritual growth. There are a number of essential or important elements to growing spiritually. But there are two that are fundamental. Two fundamental elements or things that God has provided. Means, if you will, of grace that God has given us. They are His Word and prayer. God communicates to us through His Word. We in turn communicate to Him through prayer. And I'm going to address the first one, the role of the Word of God in our lives and our personal spiritual growth this morning. And next Sunday, the Lord willing, we will look at the role of prayer in our personal spiritual growth. So that means the sermon text and hymns that are on the announcement sheets in your bulletin are not correct for next week. They will be pushed back a week. They will actually be correct, Lord willing, for January 27th, if that really matters. If you pay any attention to that, just take note of that. So this morning, what I'm going to do is share some things based on Deuteronomy 6. I say based on because this is not going to be a purely expositional sermon. I'm not going to go through all of Deuteronomy 6, all 25 verses, and give you a blow-by-blow exposition of that. But I am going to three things based on Deuteronomy 6. First is some observations of this passage. Observations of this passage as it relates to the Word of God for us. Secondly, some implications of what we find here in this passage and elsewhere in Scripture. And then third will be some points of application, some things for you to take with you, some things for you to work on, or at least some suggestions of things for you to work on. First, the observations. But before we do that, let me pray for us again. Would you bow with me? Our Father, we are grateful that, as I prayed earlier in praise to you, you are more committed to us than we are to you. You are more committed to our salvation and to our sanctification. That is, to our personal spiritual growth. And so, Father, you have provided all that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of your Son, Jesus. And you have given to us, Lord, a book we call the Bible, the book of books, Lord, that gives to us a revelation of yourself. Lord, you give to us your character. You give to us, Lord, your requirements. You give to us, Lord, what you expect and how we can live in right relationship to you and how indeed we can grow spiritually. And Father, we thank you for that this morning. We thank you, Father, not only do you give us your word, but you give us your spirit. Lord, he is the one who inspired those who have written these words and given them to us. Lord, this book is God-breathed, and it's from you. Your Spirit breathed these words out, and we praise you and thank you. But Father, you also give him to us to help us to understand your word and help us, Lord, to be reminded of it when we face situations and circumstances where we need a word from you. And he helps us, Lord, to apply your word to our lives. So, Lord, this morning we pray not only that you would give us insight and understanding, but Father, that you would give us hearts that would embrace the truth of your word, and that you would give us, Lord, the help we need to apply your word. Father, may we truly be people who are growing in your grace, growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have 5 observations from this passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I actually started out with several more, but I had to pare down and reduce. And so let me just give you the 5 observations that I find. Before I do that, let me give you a little background about Deuteronomy itself. The word named Deuteronomy means second law. Now, this isn't a second law, literally. It's the second giving of the law, if you will. It's Moses reminding the people of God of the law that was given to them at Sinai. When God appeared to Moses, and God appeared to the people and made a covenant with them as his people, he gave them the law, the Ten Commandments, but more than that. And Moses is here reminding them the people are facing their future. They're no longer to be a people wandering in the wilderness. Those 40 years are behind them. Now they're about to go into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And in order to do that, in order to be prepared for that, Moses says, don't forget who you are. And don't forget what God has done for you and what he's requiring of you. So he gives them again the law, the word of God. So this is helpful for us to think about as we have embarked on a new year. We have whatever future God allows for us, we have that out before us, and it's good for us to hear from God through his word. So here are the observations. Number 1, God's word is to be the center of our lives because God is to be the center of our lives. If you are not a Christian, understand this. Before you make that commitment to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, you need to understand that you're exchanging yourself or anything or anyone else being the center of your life for God becoming the center of your life. And for the Lord to be the center of your life, it means his word must be the center of your life. So God's word is to be the center of our lives because God is to be the center of our lives. If you need to examine yourself and ask, is God really the center of my life? Is his word central to my life? Second observation. I want to keep my commentary short or we'll never get through the 15 total points that I have this morning. Number 2. Blessings are connected to keeping God's word. There are blessings given to God's people for keeping His Word. Do you want to be blessed? Of course you do. Then keep the Word of God. Which means know the Word of God, keep the Word of God central to your life, at the center of your life. That was true for God's people in the Old Testament. It's true for God's people in the New Testament. It's true for us under the New Covenant. There are blessings connected to keeping God's Word. This isn't just Moses that says this. Jesus also promises blessings to those who will keep His Word. He says in Matthew 5, "Don't think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. Therefore, everyone," well, he goes on to say, "till heaven and earth pass, one jot, one tittle, will no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Therefore, whoever breaks the least of these commandments and teaches others will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and keeps them and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." There are blessings connected to keeping God's Word. Third, keeping God's Word is the way in which we as God's people are to love the Lord with all our heart and soul and might. The great commandment that we read here in Deuteronomy 6:4 and following, that Jesus reminded us of in Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and strength. How do we do that? We do it by keeping God's Word. We love the Lord our God supremely, heart, mind, and strength, by keeping His Word. Four, God's Word is to be on our heart, Moses writes, on your heart, on our heart. That is, we should know the Word, love the Word, and be shaped by the Word. This is not merely a matter of knowledge, head knowledge. It is a matter of love and worship. If we know God's Word, if we love God's Word, and if we keep God's Word, we will be kept from idolatry, which has curses attached to it. So God's Word is to be on our heart. We should know the Word, love the Word, and be shaped by the Word of God. It's a matter of the heart. It's not merely a matter of the head. Fifth observation. We are to teach God's Word to our children and to our children's children. Not only the words themselves, but also the reasons that God calls on us to love and to keep them. We are to teach our children and children's children the Word of God. Both what God says and the reasons why we should love and keep them. And we should explain to our children that we love and keep God's law because He has delivered us from slavery, given us life, and made us His people. You notice in Deuteronomy 6, Moses points to what God has done for the people. That they were slaves in Egypt and He led them out. We were not slaves in Egypt, we were slaves in sin. God has delivered us from slavery. He has given us life and made us His people. And therefore, we are to love and keep God's Word. We should also teach our children that keeping God's Word is both for our, is for our benefit, both now and eternally. We should teach our children that keeping God's Word is for our benefit, both temporally, now, and eternally. The Lord promises good things now, but also good things to come. The Apostle Paul told Timothy to discipline himself for the purpose of godliness, part of that discipline revolving around the Word of God, because it has promise, both for the present life and for the life to come. So, God's Word is to be the center of our lives. Blessings are connected to keeping God's Word. This is the way in which we are to love the Lord with all our heart and soul and might. It is to be on our hearts. It's a heart thing. It's not merely a head thing. And we are not only to know it, love it, keep it ourselves, we are to teach our children and children's children to do likewise and teach them why. Those are the observations. What are the implications that we see from this? Again, I had to limit myself to five. Well, I didn't have to, but I did. Implication number one, and the most important, probably, is that God takes His Word very seriously, and so should we. God takes His Word very seriously, and therefore so should we. The Bible is full of praise for God's Word, instructions to follow God's Word, and promises for those who keep God's Word. Psalm 138 verse 2 says this, I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. The Lord says He's exalted above all things, His name and His word. God takes His word very seriously. And that's why we find throughout Scripture praise for God's word, instructions to keep God's word, and promises to those who will do so. There is a reason why the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, is devoted to praise for God's word. Because God loves His word. He takes it very seriously. And so should we. Second implication. Apart from the Word, we cannot know God. We cannot know who He is, what He is like, what He requires of us, and how we can be saved from our sins. Apart from the Word, we cannot know any of that. It is the Word of God that reveals God in Christ and teaches us the gospel that brings faith and saves us. Apart from the Word, we cannot know God. We cannot know who He is, what He is like, what He requires of us, and how we can be saved by Him. Implication number three. Our hearts are naturally deceitful and wicked. Why didn't God just leave us up to, finding our own way? Whatever is true for you, that's fine. That's your truth. Just go for it. If it feels good, do it. Why didn't God just do that? Because we are self-deceived. The Scripture says our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. We can easily deceive ourselves, about God, and about the world. Coupled with the hundreds of thousands of unbiblical and ungodly messages that barrage us each day, we're helpless to know and follow God's will apart from His Word. See, God gives us His Word because we won't get it on our own. We won't find Him. We won't find the right path just by following what comes naturally. As I have often said, not original with me, but we have a natural ability to think logically to the wrong conclusion. It's the way we are bent. Not the way we were created by God, but it's the way we're bent by sin. Fourth implication, because the Word of God is the Word of God, it is living and powerful. And it is the primary means by which a loving personal relationship with God is established, nourished, and directed. I know it's a lot to get, right? Because the Word of God is the Word of God, it is living and powerful. And it is the primary means, not only but primary means, by which a loving, personal relationship with God is established, nourished, and directed. Just a tangent a little bit. It's important that we, when we talk about a personal relationship with God, we add the word loving personal relationship with God, because everybody has a personal relationship with God. Some people's personal relationship with God is He is their judge. Every creature has a personal relationship with God. It's just not always a loving personal relationship with God. We want to have a loving personal relationship with God. And the way we do that is through the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that reveals to us our failure. It reveals to us what God has done. Even prayer is dependent on God's Word. This is still part of that number four. Before we can talk to God rightly, we must know that He has made it possible for us to be heard. In addition, God's Word trains us in righteousness. That is, it enables us to make wise and correct decisions, even in the areas where there is no direct "you shall" or "you shall not." So, in order to have this personal, loving relationship with God, you know, there are areas where we have to make decisions where the Bible does not say, "Yes, do this." "No, don't do that." "Yes, move there." "No, don't move here." There are areas we have to make decisions. It is the Word of God that trains us in righteousness, that is, gives us the ability to make wise decisions in those areas, to make decisions that will be pleasing to God. Number five, fifth implication, incomparable spiritual riches and blessings are experienced as we seek to know, love, and follow God's Word. Incomparable spiritual riches and blessings are experienced as we seek to know, love, and follow God's Word. All right. 5 points of application. Number one, read the Bible. And listen to the Bible. Some of you have opportunity, because you're in the car a good bit, to listen to the Bible. Get into the Bible. Read the Bible. Listen to the Bible. Read and or listen to the Bible in more than one translation. Even paraphrases can be helpful to give additional insight, especially in difficult passages. Yes, I said that. Even paraphrase. Even something like the Living Bible. Just don't let a paraphrase be your only source. Let it be a supplement. Let your primary study Bible, in particular, reading Bible, be a good, solid, what's called large committee translation of the Scriptures, like the King James Version, the New King James, the New American Standard, or the ESV, which I preach from and which I think is very good. The New International Version. These are big committee translations. All of them are good. I encourage you to read and listen to as many different translations as possible, because you'll get a better rounded, well-rounded understanding of the Bible, especially difficult passages. There are just some to stay away from. I will mention one, and if you want to see me, you know, privately, I can mention some others that I'm not real big on. But one that I will tell you stay away from, it's the Jehovah's Witness Bible, the New World Translation, all right? It's not a translation, it's a perversion of Scripture. So, if that offends you, okay. All right, read the Bible. Get into the Bible. That's point number one of application. Now let me just say a word to those of you here who are not Christians, who've not yet in your heart turned, repented of sin, and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. A lot of times people don't do that because they have questions about the Bible. There are things about the Bible they don't understand. They want their questions answered first. There is not one of us here who fully understands everything in the Bible. Most of us probably still have a lot more questions than we have answers. That's just a fact. If you wait until you have all your questions about the Bible answered, you'll never come to faith in Christ. There is much you'll never understand until you come to faith in Christ. So, come to Christ. There is enough that is clearly understandable by anybody to know, for you to know that God is a creator and He has made you and He has a claim on your life. But that you, because you are a human being, you have rebelled against God in your heart and in your life. We've all gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. That's what the Bible means when it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what we have earned by that is God's judgment. We justly deserve judgment. But God so loved the world that he gave his son, his one and only son. He gave him to live a perfect, sinless life. He gave him to die a substitutionary death. That is, he died in the place of sinners to take the penalty for sin. He then was buried and rose again. God's statement that he was satisfied with the death of Jesus, and by his life we now may have eternal life. If we will repent, turn from our sins, and put our trust in him. That is there. That's clear. That's all you need to trust Christ, to be saved. The rest of the questions you can spend the rest of your life working out. That's what I'm doing, all right? I still got a lot of questions, a lot more questions than I have answers to. All right, so number one, read the Bible. Number two, read things besides the Bible. Good books. Good books that will help your growth. I recommended a couple of weeks ago to read some significant book in addition to the Bible this year. Some of you may remember that, all right? Some of you were here, but, well. I'm not talking about books like The Shack or 15 Minutes in Heaven or Heaven is for Real or those kinds of things, all right? That's all I'm going to say about those at this point. Those are not the kinds of books I'm recommending. That's not what I'm talking about when I talk about a significant book other than the Bible. I'm talking about something that will actually benefit you. Something like Augustine's Confessions or The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan or something more recent like I recommended Knowing God by J.I. Packer. These are just representative. There are a lot of good, solid books that will teach you, that will build you up in the faith. Let me make another recommendation. Maybe you would want to do this one even before you read one of those others. Get a book like this book. This is How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth by Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart. It doesn't have to be this book, but a book that will give you the basics in how to understand the Bible. How to read different types of literature in the Bible. Because Proverbs are not law, right? The Psalms are poetry. That doesn't mean they're not true. It just means that we read them. There's a lot of symbolism in them. Apocalyptic literature, like parts of the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, the book of the Revelation, these we need to understand a little bit about how to read and interpret and understand them. This is a good book for that. It's not perfect, but it's good. So I would recommend reading a book like this, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth by Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart. Again, there are other books that are good in that area as well. Number three, third application, recommendation. You want to grow as a Christian. If you're a Christian, you want to grow as a Christian. You want to be pleasing to the Lord. You want to know more of Christ. You want to experience more of His blessings. You want to be more like Christ. You want to be more beneficial to others. You want to grow. And so sometimes we try to take a drink from a fire hydrant, right? We want it all now. Don't bite off more than you can chew. It's better to start one thing, to do one thing and do it consistently than to try to do half dozen things to get behind, get discouraged, quit. Don't bite off more than you can chew. It's my tendency, and when the new year starts, I've got 52 new resolutions, all right, that I'm going to fulfill this year, that I'm going to do. And, you know, 2 weeks in, I've 1/52nd of the first one, all right? Great desires, great expectations, and yet it's easy to get behind, to get discouraged. I believe that most of us could find more time to spend in Scripture than we are spending now if we would be more discerning about how we currently spend our time. I believe we could do more than we're doing. However, I would rather you choose one thing, one area where you commit yourself to doing better this year and stick to it, rather than trying to start several things and a month or two down the road, getting behind, getting discouraged, and quitting it all. Out on the in the foyer, there are a couple of tables out there. There are lots of resources. They're there for you to take your time. That's the reason they're still there, and they were there before the new year began, is so that you would have time to kind of look through them. Not that you would choose them all, but that you would look through and say, I think I'd like this for my personal spiritual growth. There are Bible reading plans, not just one, but a number of Bible reading plans. I just picked up several things out there. There's the Essential 100 Bible Reading Plan, the four-part Bible Reading Plan, and there's a four-point Bible Reading Plan bookmark. You know, there are Bible reading plans by this Bible and by that Bible. Just pick something and do it. And then at the end of the year, if you find out, you know, that wasn't really what I wanted, or I like that, but I like something different, pick another one. Don't try to do too much. Don't let the sheer volume of information overwhelm you. Just pick something and do it. You'll get great benefit if you do something consistently rather than trying to do too many things and doing them all haphazardly. It has been demonstrated that just about any kind of exercise will benefit you if you do it consistently. Really. It's the doing it consistently. That's the difficult part, right? So just pick something and do it. Number four. Fourth application. This is to parents, especially fathers. But there are some families where there is no father. So single parent households. Here are some instruction and recommendations for you. Don't neglect your responsibility. In the matter of training your children, you have the primary responsibility. The church has a secondary responsibility. Bringing your children to Sunday school is great. It does not get the job done. Don't neglect your responsibility. That's first. Second, don't get discouraged over your failures. You will have many of them. I have had far more than I could ever count. Don't get discouraged over your failures. Third, don't neglect resources. There is a plethora. There are a lot of resources to help you do this. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to come up with an individualized, original devotional plan for your family. Use resources. That's what I do. One of the things that I found to be helpful with our children of all ages is a book, 1 Year of Dinner Table Devotions by Nancy Guthrie. Excellent resource. Now, I recommend this to you, but there are lots of them. If I had to be original and come up with all of these on my own, we'd never do anything. So don't neglect resources. That's a sure way to difficulty. I'll just say that. Fourth, don't forget to walk your talk. The old saying is true. More truth is often caught than taught. Don't nullify what you're teaching your children by the way you live. Many children have rebelled, not because of what they were taught, but because of what they saw in the home. Don't forget to walk your talk. Now, you won't be perfect. There will be times where you won't be consistent. That's where God's grace comes in. But that does not excuse hypocrisy. Don't forget to walk your talk. Okay, number five. Last. Do not read the Bible to get through it. Do not read the Bible merely to learn. Do not read the Bible because someone else expects you to. Read the Bible to see God, to know God, to love God, to hear what God has to say to you. Again, this is far more than academic, intellectual exercise. This is where life comes from. God really does reveal Himself through His Word. And we come to know Him better as we hear Him speaking to us through His Word. Our hymn of response this morning, you don't have to turn there yet. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Hymn 263, Break Thou the Bread of Life. It's a great hymn on the Scriptures. It's a hymn of prayer to God that He would open up the Word to us. I take exception with one word. Verse 1, Break Thou the Bread of Life, dear Lord, to me, as Thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Here's my exception. Beyond the sacred page, I seek Thee, Lord. Now, let's change that. We're not going to change it when we sing. That's too confusing. But change that as you think about it to within the sacred page, I seek Thee, Lord. Not beyond, within the Word is where we seek the Lord, is where we find the Lord. My spirit pants for Thee, O living Word. Bless Thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, as Thou didst bless the bread by Galilee. Then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me, Thy holy Word, the truth that saveth me. Give me to eat and live with Thee above. Teach me to love Thy truth, for Thou art love. O, send Thy Spirit, Lord, now unto me, that He may touch mine eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within Thy Word, and in Thy book revealed, I see Thee, Lord. That's why we have the Word of God, to see God, to know God, to love God, to hear from God, and respond to God. We're going to take a moment just to meditate. Before we sing, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm not going to ask for anybody to raise your hands. I'm not going to do that. But if you would all bow your heads and think about God's Word. Think about your relationship to God's Word. Think about some area where in this year you might commit yourself to growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ through some specific application of God's Word. I'm going to ask Anna to come on up here and just play something while we take a moment to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us.